I do have a question. Who picked out the music today? Who picked it out? Group effort. Okay. Well, that group effort, I would like to let you guys know, is that it was actually perfect segue right into today's sermon. It talked about giving ourselves up. It talked about worshiping and praising Him, and really less of us and more of Him. And so, I'm trying to get technology to go here, and it doesn't look like it wants to work with me. Mike, are you seeing anything on the computer back there? Is it? Cool, because I don't have it here. So, I'm losing it. I don't have much on a screen here. So I'm going to have to, every once in a while, look behind me. Is that okay with everybody else? It's not on that monitor either. So, otherwise I would gladly cheat. So, with technical difficulties, we will look at just going ahead. When you hear the word Christmas, or you speak the word Christmas, what do you understand the meaning of the word and what it is? Is it about food, party, friends? When we think about Christmas, do we think of Christmases past where we look at, oh gosh, that was so fun when my daughter came home this year. And next year I'll be looking forward to having the family again together. But do we look and understand Christmas like the commercialness of the world? It's all about the way things are. Saturnalias was actually 200 years before Christ's birth. It was a pagan holiday, and it started on the 17th of December and went to the 25th. And this holiday was all about me, an individual, about me having fun, about me being able to do things wrong and not even be held accountable. It was kind of like chaos. And then even in other parts of the country, there was some winter fest because times were dark. And that's how the Christmas tree from the Norwegians got pulled in, and the Germans got pulled into the homes. And they celebrated life of having green things in the home in a dark time of the year when the sun was actually away from us the most. The Roman government adopted some of these pieces of the pagan holidays. And the Roman government was looking at, as they would conquer a nation, if they liked what they were doing, even if it was wrong, they would accept it as theirs and become part of the party. So you see this government that has all these different things. But as Christianity grew and it started to spread, there was a lot of division. And the division came in that Christianity was about love. And it wasn't about you. It was about giving yourself up to God. And as we look at this, we see that the pagan holiday brought darkness. The church wasn't even sure. There's actually six different times that they think Jesus could be born. Anywhere from December to March that the church was looking at. But none of them could pinpoint an exact date. So the church of the time decided, hey, we have all these things coming together in darkness. Why don't we pick December 25th when their end is done? And so the church adopted the date, December 25th. Because we really don't know the day and the hour that Christ was born. But see, Christ changed everything, even our time. Looking at how we tell a calendar, AD and BC. It changed everything. Christ's birth was even foretold. But do we really emphasize the understanding of the manger? Do we really understand the emphasis of Christ being born as a common? He's a king of all kings. But he came not to bring judgment on us, but to bring us salvation. It was foretold in the Old Testament. And you think about this. In the Old Testament, what does it say? In Genesis 3:15, let me read that with you. 3:15. It's not up there. Let me see what I can do by memory. And I will put aggravation or what? Enmity or hostility in some translations between you and the woman, and being your offspring and her offspring, and he will crush the head of the snake with his heel. That's being the foretold of Jesus Christ being born of a woman, and Jesus crushing Satan's head is the Old Testament. Galatians 4:4. But when the time has come, God has sent his Son to be born of a woman and be born underneath the law. The Old Testament is never to be washed away. The Old Testament is being fulfilled in the New Testament with Jesus Christ. Proverbs 30, I believe it's 4. Who has gone to heaven? It starts with. So these are questions we need to ask. Who has gone to heaven? Who has gathered up the winds? Who has wrapped the waters in his cloak? Who's done this that you know of in the Bible? Jesus. He's done all these. He's been here on earth. He's been in heaven. Because Genesis tells us in the beginning of Genesis, we were created in their image. Or it says our image, but our meaning Jesus and God. And what is his name? His name is the Son. Oh. Now Luke tells us in 1:32, he will be great. He'll become called the Son of the Most High. What's the Most High in their understanding of the time? God. The Lord God will give him throne of his father David's house. I got the Bible verses up here. Thanks, Mike. Jesus, not only through Mary, but also through his father, stepfather, Joseph, was in the line of David, which was also foretold. Why is any of this important? For we need to understand that the Old Testament and the New Testament come together to fulfill God's will. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Think about this. Up until recently, a virgin could not conceive, even at any ability. And only through science it's been learned how it would do. And then find a woman that would be a virgin at a right age is becoming harder to find. Because our society has corrupted us and tell us false things. But you look at this and you say, years before Jesus was even born, to comprehend would be, you need a man and a woman. Now we have the Old Testament, so we're given a little bit more information. And in Matthew, it tells us, verses 1:18 through 25, the whole story. How Mary was pledged to Joseph. how he had to make the decision to love her. Well, when angels would come to you and stand in front of you and talk to you like it happened to Joseph, would any of us pay attention? I think I would. And we hear the stories being written. We hear it in Matthew, and we also hear it in Luke. For God so loved the world that he gave his, what? His one and only Son, that whoever believed in him shall not perish and have eternal life. Do you believe that? No. Do you really believe it? I want to hear some yeses out there, because we need to know this and be able to tell others about it, because it is life changing. God has given himself. He sent his baby down. The baby that sat in this manger, Jesus Christ to start with, is the one that is going to make a difference in our life. God's given us breath. Is that correct? And what did we do in return? We're going to learn some more about this. But Pastor John, 1 John 2:2, you've already preached on. How many people remember I've already preached on that? Really? Okay, one person. I'm so glad that one person was listening a while back. It would have been in the beginning of December, so it has been a while. But I preached on this, looking at that we understand what John is trying to teach us. Just like C.S. Lewis was trying to teach that young man to keep writing and to keep in the Word, John is trying to teach us, the younger Christians, what's happening. 1 John 2:2. And I thank you, Brandon, for remembering that I preached on this. Because there was one thing, as I was preaching, there was one piece that just never stopped as I read it. He has atoned sacrifices for our sins. Not only for our sins, but the sins of the world as well. What does the word atoning mean to you? Or atones? Is it really life-changing for you? That one word, if we can really put our hands around that word, I think it would change our understanding. Atones. Christmas is about a baby. Jesus comes to us. He comes as a baby to be sacrificed. God already knew this. He's coming to atone for the sins that I have done myself and you as well. God made us. We turned from him, and we still turn from him today. How many of you sinned in the last 1 year? We'll go pick a year. I better see every one of your hands, because I don't see a perfect church here. Okay? We all have sinned. Our own sin and the sins of our father, as well as the sins of Adam. And he sent his son, the baby, Jesus. And what did we do to the baby Jesus as humans? We killed him. We're responsible. But he rose from the dead was the plan to give us everlasting life, to atone and pay for our sins. This little baby is the one that came to save our sins. Atone is a verb. Looking at this, it's meaning it has action. It actually looking at atone for one's sins. Being accountable. Would you think it's right for somebody to commit a murder and not be held responsible? I didn't say war, and that's a different whole subject. I'm saying murder. I hope so. I'm looking at the faces to get reactions because of... How about this? If I stole something out of your house, let's pretend you had $500 on your counter and I took it. Should I be held accountable? I would hope so. Okay? But by the definition, Jesus is the one that paid my crime. He atoned for my failure. He atoned for my guiltiness, my sin. He also is the object of bringing unity, harmony, and correction, the word means. Atone means it's fixed. Opportunity. You heard Brother Larry preaching about opportunity? Well, we have an opportunity to look at reshaping our Christian understanding. Do we really understand Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament? Do we really understand that baby Jesus is a sacrifice? Can you think about sacrificing a baby? I can't, but that's why he came. Because of the sins that we have, to bring us back to God. God has given us life in Genesis. Adam and Eve had life. We sinned and turned from God. He sends Jesus to fix this. And we crucify him. God knew that we were going to make this mistake. But he loved us so much. Do we love Jesus so much that we actually look at our lives? Think about the greatest gift that you ever received. What is the greatest gift that you ever received? One of them for me this year was my daughter came home from school. I think it was also a great gift from my wife because them two have like hung together the whole time. The other greatest gift is when my boys work with me and help me out. That was the number thing I wanted for Christmas. Number one thing, don't give me anything, just give me time. Jack referred to that as, well, can I just hire somebody to fill in for my spot? No, Jack, I want time with you. But I want you as individuals to stop right now. Think of the best Christmas gift you ever had. It might be, John Ives said he really likes this pocket knife he got from someone. Okay? Okay, so it's not that big a deal, Amanda. But it's to somebody else, it may be. Think about that greatest gift that you ever received. Everybody have one in their head? Nod your head, yes. You have something in your head? Let me ask you this. I want to ask you one question. Now, is it better than the gift of life? Think about this. Our life. If we did not breathe air and we did not have salvation, it would be worthless. All these things that are given to us, and they're things and relationships, are all because of God. In Genesis, it tells us God gave us life. He gave us breath. But we're here sent for a purpose. God did not create us. Elders, listen closely. Hold me accountable. God did not create us to serve us. He is not a God that says, I'm coming to serve you. Our God created us to serve him. Matthew 28. Tana knows it. 19. We are to go and share the word of God. We actually sin and we turn from God. But that can be healed through Jesus Christ. But we are called to do God's work. So some of us will feel like, well, I'm a sinner, I can't do enough. God will never forgive me. That's not true. That's Satan talking to you. Jesus Christ has came to save you. He sent his son to give us our life back. And through having our life back, through the baby, Jesus Christ, he's also giving us gifts. He's giving us everlasting life and eternity with God. Do we really understand that as Christians? We are redeemed? Do you? We are made righteous through Jesus Christ. Love is God. He gives us himself. God has given His Son to die for us so that we may live. And by knowing this, we should live a more fulfilled life. Do we? We've been given the opportunity that Jesus comes as a baby to understand this peace. Do we make it part of our lives? Or does this world get us so busy? How many of us are so busy we have nothing more time on our plates? I'm one of them. And some of the things we have to maybe take off our plate. And look at this. Where is our opportunity? Where is our opportunity to focus on the baby Jesus at Christmas? And to share what Jesus means to us? Christmas shouldn't be a time of being the commercial pagan holiday that it started to be. About me and about all of these things that are so great and stimulating. It should be about love. The love of Jesus Christ. Sharing what the reason of the season really is. That Jesus came to die for us. And by putting it in that perspective, it may change our hearts. If we don't have the means to give, like David said. David's a wise man when he spoke and said, it's not about all the gifts. It's about the relationship. In 2014, what is going to be the opportunity? How will you want to get to know more of Christ and God, your Father, and your relationship? These daily breads, they were really impacted me this morning when I read my daily bread. By taking the time, as small as it might seem, will give you great return in 2014. Become more active in your church body. You will find that you're actually fulfilled. Why are you fulfilled? For you are doing what God has called in your heart. Each and every one of you are created by Jesus Christ for a purpose. God has a purpose for you. Jesus was there. God was there. The Holy Spirit is active in this church. Why? Because we're doing. We need to be a church of doing Christ's work. And by doing Christ's work, I believe the Holy Spirit will give us more talents. More people will come to this church. For what reason? To serve Christ. Not to serve us. To serve them. And as they serve, we see that Christ will grow. And Christ will be the opportunity, the King. Let's be clear. As Christmas, are we the same as every other person? Is it all about shopping? Is it all about the food? Is Christmas really all about the pagan holiday? Or is Christ really in our hearts? Are we living for Christ? Are we sharing that Christ is really the reason for the season? I think of a lot of people that I've seen in this church are servants. And I'm thankful for them. Because they are showing the love of Christ. But do we live to serve others? And if we do, I believe that's Christ in us, is love. God wants me to point out one more thing. That none of us are actually good. Do you agree that? I mean, I try to argue the point sometimes. And I know where Jack got it from. I was really never wrong as a young person. It really wasn't my fault. I tried to make myself correct. You know, when I got pulled over by the cop, it really wasn't my fault. And people know I drive fast. I still do to this day. It was because of something else. Or I told my mom my grades are low because of that teacher just doesn't like me. Have anybody ever... And some of these may have truths in them. But sometimes we have to deal with reality too. We aren't righteous. But we are made righteous. That's the difference. We are not righteous, but we are made righteous. This righteousness that is given through the faith of Jesus Christ to all who believe. Amen? There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen. Righteousness comes through Jesus Christ. By accepting Jesus Christ through our faith, we are made righteous. And by having righteousness, we have the power to step out and say, I'm a Christian. Even in our business places, we have the right because we're made righteous. We shouldn't be scared and we shouldn't be ashamed. For God has made us righteous, not us. I hope this is clear. God has given us the best gift, Jesus Christ, to bring us back in fellowship with Him. The baby is our atonement. The gift that helps reunite our relationship. And through that gift, be made righteous in Him that we can go forward. Romans 12, 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Would you agree? Amen. Be transformed in the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do you believe that? I need you to believe that because you are made righteous. Anything that goes through your head, take it to the Word of God. And if it conforms to the Word of God and doesn't conflict with the Word of God, it can be the Holy Spirit speaking to you. I've talked with Andrew. Me and Andrew are very close. We work together in some different places. And I told Andrew, there's been amazing things that happened to me this last year. All of a sudden, I feel I should pray for somebody. So I do it. All of a sudden, I think I should give something to somebody. So I do it. I look at anything I do right now, taking it up against the Word of God. And if it doesn't conflict with the Word of God, I do it. Because I feel the Holy Spirit's been speaking to me more and more. And all of a sudden, doors have opened up, relationships have opened up, and God is moving. We need to know not to transform to this world, because otherwise we get sucked in. Have any of you guys ever got sucked into the commercialness of this world? Nike slogan, just do it. You got to have the right jacket. You have to have the right shoes. You need to be conformed to the world, is what the world tells us. I'm here to tell you no. Do not conform to the world. Conform to God and His Word. And by reading the daily breads and reading your open your Bible, you will find a change and a transformation. 2014. Where are you going to be in your relationship with Jesus Christ? You have two options. Something is growing, and it grows up, a tree. And at a certain point, the tree is done growing. What's it start to do then? When a tree is done growing, it starts to die. Trees don't grow forever. Nothing grows forever. Everything comes to a death. So my advice to you is in 2014, you have a chance to grow closer to Jesus Christ and God by reading the Word and being active. Or you are what? You're going farther away. You only have the two options. There is no middle ground. We have two options. So my call to you is to make a plan. Make a commitment. Is it called a New Year's resolution? I'm just saying, be faithful to your heart. Find fulfillment as you get involved in a body of a church. Find the talent that God has given you. Without a plan or a commitment, you will not see change. Would you agree with me? Okay. If you don't have a plan, there won't be no change. So my question to you, what did you glean from this message? To hear me speak isn't really a privilege because I'm not that great a speaker. I'm just a servant. But one thing I do request is that every time you hear somebody speak about the Word of God, listen. And as you listen, what did you learn? And when you learn something, what are you going to do about it? What you do about it is your business. And it will impact your life. Dear Heavenly Father, I call the band up. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask at this time that the Word of God does not go away void. We ask, Lord, that you move in our hearts. You move in our actions, Lord, and that you stir within us the relationship with you. May you grow closer to us. And may you, Lord, be all of our lives. We ask, Lord, that you help work within us and stimulate us to read the Word of God and understand us, help us understand your Word. In your name, amen.